I'm Rick Wagren, here with Vange Bansal and Dan Baker, voice of the Philadelphia Phillies. We're here today talking about the state of the Philadelphia sports, as well as Dan's presence now on social media, and I guess the Camden River Sharks event that he's doing coming up. What are your thoughts on that? Are you excited to do something like that, minor league game?
I am. I like announcing sports events. I'm the biggest Philadelphia sports fan ever. I root for everything Philly. Naturally, the Phillies, the Eagles, Flyers, Sixers, but you know, the Big Five, Drexel. We have great Division I athletic programs, and let me say, you know, Rick and Vange, thank you for having me, and I look forward to being on with you and discussing Philadelphia sports and me and some of my events. And on Friday, August 14th, I'll be at Campbell's Field in Camden, and I'll be doing the PA. They have a very good PA announcer, by the way, named Kevin Casey. And I'm going to share the stage with Kevin that night, and I'll be doing the PA for the River Sharks game. And we're going to have a meet and greet beforehand with some of their season ticket holders and sponsors. And I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. And I've announced in many different venues, and I'm trying to think, I did one Lakewood Blue Claws game, I think in their opening season, one of their first games. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Tug McGraw was there, and poor Tug, nice. I know, has been gone for a while. Trying to think, I did. The River Sharks are part of the independent, I think, the Atlantic League, and I did the introduction of the their All-Star game. No, I didn't announce the All-Star game itself in Lancaster that one particular year. I don't know how far this goes back, maybe 8 years or so, but I introduced all the pregame events, and so that was a lot of fun. So I have some experience with the league. Remember, there used to be a team in Atlantic City, the Surf, perhaps. But they do a good job there, and that's a beautiful setting, you know.
Right under the bridge there, yeah.
Yeah, right by the Benjamin Franklin Bridge, the beautiful Philadelphia skyline. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely great that you get the chance to expand to a different market that's not necessarily Phillies. You still get to cover the sport that you love in baseball and everything.
Yeah, I love baseball. And, you know, as part of my Phillies PA announcing, Vange and Rick, I do every year the Carpenter Cup, which showcases the top high school baseball players in the tri-state area. And, you know, a lot of terrific young baseball players have participated in the Carpenter Cup. I think it's the biggest and best forum for players to display their skills and to be seen by Major League scouts and college coaches. And a lot of scholarships have been won through the Carpenter Cup. And also there's been a lot of players signed to professional baseball contracts. So I announce a bunch of those games every year. And then we usually do a couple of college baseball games through the Phillies. And there's the Bill Giles Invitational and the Liberty Bell Classic. So I do those couple of games every year. So that's a lot of fun. And I've actually done, you know, I don't know how great a detail we're going to go here, but I've done quite a number of different events.
Are there any notable names that have come through there that I guess the fans would recognize? Or
in the Carpenter Cup?
Yeah.
Mike Piazza?
Okay.
For one. Mike Trout? How's that? Is that a big thing?
That's
back-to-back winner of the All-Star MVP. Game MVP. There are two of them.
Yeah. Well, some of the biggest names you can get.
Brian Schneider, that used to catch for the Phillies and the Nationals and the Expos, he participated in the Carpenter Cup. There's actually been Kevin Mensch, who played for the Rangers. I think there's altogether maybe 20 that have gone on to Major League teams and quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, you're announcing future ball players. That's awesome. I guess with all that announcing, I guess now you have this chance to connect and see different people on the social media aspect side of things now, where you've expanded now to Facebook and Twitter. I think Vonch has some questions about that.
Yes. So what made you want to get involved, first of all, with social media, with Facebook and Twitter, interacting with the fans more on that front?
Vonch, thank you for the question. And I hope that you'll forgive me if my answers aren't the most sound technologically. But really, through our mutual good friend, Josh Weinfeld, who I think is going to be a very successful sports agent or professional sports executive someday, and who we've known each other for a long time. And Josh is helping to line up some additional announcing opportunities for me. And it was his recommendation that my marketability would be enhanced if I made myself more accessible. And that perhaps by having a certain number of followers or being able to communicate and get the message out there makes you more valuable to a potential client,
right,
sports bar, restaurant that might be interested in hiring you for a promotion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had some very successful promotions with Chickies and Pete's for the past 8 years. And I do an event called Summer Nights at the Ballpark, where I recreate the ballpark atmosphere at a sports bar. And they have the Phillies game up on all the big screen TVs, and then I announce the lineups just like I do at Citizens Bank Park. And after I announce the lineups, they turn the sound back up on the TV, and then each time a batter comes up, just like I do at Citizens Bank Park, I announce the hitter in between innings. And after I announce the batter, they turn the sound back up on our broadcasters. Tom McCarthy, Ben Davis, Matt Stairs, and you hear the play-by-play, and then when the next batter comes up, I announce.
Right.
And then in between innings, the Phillies provide me with giveaway items, and I ask trivia questions to the patrons, and I try to target children, and the idea, Rick and Vonge, is not so much to stump them as it is to send them home with a little Phillies memento and create some goodwill.
A memory for them.
And I think we do that. I've done that. I've done, in the World Series years of 2008 and 2009, I did as many as 24 of these promotions a year for Chickies and Pete's. This year, they decided against doing them. They felt that the interest wasn't there.
Right.
But they thanked me for being a good ambassador for them and the Phillies, and told me that they would definitely be interested in revisiting these promotions in a couple of years, which
right.
I think translated means, you know, when the Phillies, you know, get back to their winning ways, that
yes.
that they would like me to come back and do that promotion. That's one of the promotions that I do, but last year, which was the first year that I didn't do the Eagles in 30 years, I hosted a couple of viewing parties for Eagles telecasts at the North End Grill in North Wildwood, and they worked very well.
Yeah.
So we're hopeful of doing some more of those this coming fall.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the Facebook and Twitter are definitely it's the way our generation interacts right now. Having a voice like yourself has been such a prominent figure for the past 44 years?
This is my 44th year with the Phillies. As far as I know, I'm the longest tenured PA announcer who's active in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And to the best of my knowledge, there have only been, in the history of Major League Baseball, two PA announcers who've announced for 50 years or more. Bob Shepard of the New York Yankees, mm-hmm. who performed brilliantly from 1951 through 2007, total of 57 years, and Pat Piper of the Chicago Cubs, who even has Bob Shepard beat out in terms of seniority. He announced for 59 years at Wrigley Field, from the time it opened in 1916 until 1974. So Bob Shepard did 57 years, Pat Piper 59 years, and if my health holds out and the Phillies will have me for another 6 years, I would join that exclusive club.
50 years then, 6 years from now, right?
Yeah, I would need six more. And frankly, you know, I don't plan to slow down then either. I mean, if I can still perform at a high level, and I see no reason, you know, at this time why I can't, I try to take good care of myself. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I will challenge, you know, Pat Piper and Bob Shepard in terms of their number of years of service. But 50 would be a really, really great milestone.
Yeah.
And but I, you know, I don't want to make any assumptions about, you know, the Phillies are obligated to have me or anything like that. You know, I'd like to think I do a pretty good job. I love what I do. And I hope I do it well enough that they'll want me to continue.
Well, we certainly think you do a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm going to tell Von somebody to talk to you and Rick if anybody ever questions how
I'm doing. Tell them to come to Philadelphia Sports Nation.
We got you covered. So you mentioned, you know, generally the attention and the interest in the Phillies this year has been a little bit down, mm-hmm. unfortunately because of the, I guess, not a successful record the team has had. So at the ballpark, have you seen a difference in the atmosphere or anything at all? Attendance?
Yes. Yes, attendance is down considerably. You know, just a couple of years ago, the Phillies drew the most fans in baseball, I think somewhere around 3,600,000. Mm-hmm. And we were averaging over 45,000 a game. And I think right now we're averaging about 26,000 a game. So we're down approximately 20,000 people a
almost
game.
Half,
that's a significant drop off. But, you know, it shouldn't be a shock to anybody, because if you look around baseball at other teams, you know, when they're playing well, they fill the ballpark.
Yeah.
When they're not,
no,
they don't. You know, yeah. Maybe they have half capacity or even less in some cases. So while the Phillies bring in a new core group that will be the backbone of future successes, mm-hmm. until they develop and we have a competitive team, we're probably going to struggle at the gate. And then, you know, once we start winning our fair share, I think you'll see that attendance move right back up, because Citizens Bank Park is just a great place to watch a baseball game.
Yes.
You know, the natural grass. Of course, I announced, as you guys are aware, at Veterans Stadium for 32 of the 33 years right. that the Phillies played just across the street there, Broad and Patterson. And that stadium holds many memories for me. Including men, and socially, I met my wife there.
Oh, wow.
Our children, Darren and Courtney. My wife's name is Kathy. In fact, Kathy worked in Philly's sales and marketing for 10 years, from 1971 to 1980. And our son Darren was born in 1980. Our daughter Courtney was born in 1983. They both worked part time for the Phillies. Of course, also at the Vet, the Phillies won their first ever World Series in 1980. And they went back to the World Series in 1983 and 1993
right.
at Veterans Stadium. There were two All-Star games that I had the privilege to announce there, 1976 and 1996. at the 76 Midsummer Classic, I had the privilege of introducing the then President of the United States, the Honorable Gerald R. Ford.
Wow.
So he was at the 76 game.
Awesome.
And talking about a Carpenter Cup grad, Rick, Mike Piazza, in the 96 game, hit a long home run deep into the left center field upper deck.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the highlights of the 96 All-Star game.
Incredible. Yeah, I guess continue on the topic of the Phillies. I guess you can speculate and comment as much as you want, but where do you see the team 5-10 years from now? Do you see them back at the place they were in 2008, 2009? Or
I do. Yeah. I do. And may I add, I'm a huge Phillies fan. And when people say to me that, you know, oh my gosh, it's terrible, and, you know, how do you... you know, how do you go to the games? How do I go to the games? I love watching baseball. And the Phillies pay me very well. It's the best part-time job in the world. And, I mean, to me, when they're winning, that's icing on the cake. I mean, that's a bonus. But for long-time Phillies fans like me, I started following the Phillies in, like, 1954 when I was 8 years old. You know, there have been a lot of lean years in between then and now. There have been many winning seasons, too, and thank goodness for that, and how proud we are of the team's successes. But I was a fan of that 61 team that went 47 and 107. They had a 23-game losing streak thrown in, you know. So that was a toughie. Hopefully we're not going to pass those 107 losses, although I guess some people think we have a chance.
We're
probably going to threaten that century loss mark. But I believe the success of sports is so cyclical. And obviously we're on a downturn right now.
For the whole city, not just the Phillies.
I mean, my goodness. Hopefully, the Sixers' long-range building plan is going to work out for them. I know the Flyers always try to do what they can, and the Eagles are committed to winning, and they've been close. I had the distinct honor of announcing three consecutive NFC championship games, 2002, 2003, 2004.
Fortunately, no Super Bowl following that.
No. Although that championship game, the last one at the Vet between the Eagles and Tampa Bay, I thought they were going to do that. And of course, Tampa Bay did go on and win the Super Bowl convincingly that year. And I'll never forget that opening kickoff by Brian Mitchell, and which led to the game's first touchdown. Oh, my goodness. That Vet was so – it was shaking. That big old 60,000-seat stadium was shaking. You know, the people were so excited. But it wasn't to be. I was also at the Vet, although I started as the Eagles PA announcer in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
So I announced Eagles games for a total of 29 years, but for 18 years before that, I did statistics and spotted for a lot of visiting announcers, first at Franklin Field, which is where the University of Pennsylvania plays their football games, but was at one time the home of the Eagles, and of course it was the home of the 1960 NFL champions.
Yes.
There was no Super Bowl back
then,
but those Eagles, led by Chuck Bednarik and Norm Van Brocklin, Tommy McDonald, Pete Retzlaff, what a great moment that was in the city's sports history. And that's our last NFL championship.
55 years ago now.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't, I'm very optimistic that Chip Kelly can get the job done. I mean, he's been a winner everywhere he's been. He's an innovator. So I think the Eagles definitely have a chance. And, that's part of the reason we're sports fans. You know, we root for our teams and sometimes they disappoint us, but you remain a fan. You know, we're not going to abandon them. You know, it's funny, Rick and Vonge, I'll have people say to me, I can't get over how you're still so enthusiastic. The Phillies are, you know, losing by a lot of runs, and I hear you, you know, announcing Ryan Howard. And I said, well, what am I going to even expect? You know, I can't give up on the team. You know,
to be Ryan Howard.
Yeah, we still, you know, think a great deal of the team, and want them to succeed. We have to, you know, make them feel comfortable and that they are getting the proper support at home. You know, this is their home field. We want to make them feel good about it and, you know, perform at a high level. So, naturally, we're going to continue to be enthusiastic.
And, of course, yeah.
You know, the atmosphere at Citizens Bank Park is just terrific, isn't it? I mean, have you guys seen many baseball games there?
Yeah.
I can't say I have.
Oh, you have to go. Yeah. It's a great place to meet other young people. Mm. You know, they have great food there. And for most of the time that Citizens Bank Park has opened, it opened its doors in 2004. I mean, you've seen some really good baseball, too. So, and, you know, it's convenient that Citizens Bank Park, that South Philadelphia Sports Complex, where Citizens Bank Park, Lincoln Financial Field, the Wells Fargo Center, you know, Xfinity Live. I mean, that's kind of a whole, that's a neat area.
Yeah. Very unique.
I want to say, so, you know, talked about how you're, of course, a huge fan. So as a fan.
Thank you.
As, from a fan perspective, what's been the most, I guess, maybe, what's the word, troubling, upsetting thing about this season in particular, from a fan perspective?
Well, I don't think, and you know, I'm a fan too. Yes. I'm a big fan.
Yes.
I make sure that microphone's off and I'm rooting, you know, if I'm done announcing a batter, in between batters and stuff. I guess what is a little bit disappointing to me is that I didn't think we would drop this far. We talked about that sports success is cyclical. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have some winning years, and then, you know, you rebuild as other teams get the number one draft choices, you know, and so forth. So it certainly wouldn't have come as a surprise to anyone that we were going to take a dip.
Yeah.
And not be able to sustain winning the NL East on a continuous basis as we had for five straight years from 2007 to 2011. But I didn't see us dropping to the level where we would become historically bad.
Right. The depth of the decline is the upsetting part.
Yeah, I guess it's more than we thought. But I know that we have really good baseball people. I don't know, we're, you know, just a victim of circumstances and, you know, some injuries and the decline has been more precipitous than I think most fans anticipated.
Is there anything you think that could have been done anywhere along the line to avoid maybe this dramatic of a fall for the team?
As much as you can speculate on it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's awkward for those of us who are lucky enough to be employees of the club. You know, you want to be careful never to say anything that would be construed as being disloyal or critical of our management, because they work very hard. I think you need luck, you know.
Right.
I know luck is the residue of hard work. We have a lot of hardworking people. Some of the trades didn't go as we had hoped. I mean, Roy Halladay, that was a great acquisition.
Yeah.
He had two of the best years ever a starting pitcher has had for the Phillies. And then he got injured.
And,
you know, had he been able to continue, if Ryan Howard does not tear his Achilles,
yes,
you know, at the end of that, you know, game five in the Cardinals game, you know, if Chase Utley's chronic bad knees hadn't deteriorated to the point that they had, you know, that things could have been much differently. Perhaps we would have been able to sustain that success a couple more years. And that's what the Phillies were trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to give the team another year or two in first place in the NL East and a chance to advance in the playoffs. You know, in 2011, I think we won 102 games.
Yeah.
And we were probably actually a better team than the one that won the World Series in 2008 or the one that went back to the World Series in 2009. But, you know, a pitch here, a pitch there, an injury, you know.
Yeah. A squirrel going across the field.
Yeah.
2011.
Yeah, I think if I had, you know, there's, I'm sure, an awful lot of thought went into all of the trades that were made. I mean, let's face it, nobody wants to do anything that's going to make themselves or their organization look bad. But, you know, it's not for me, and I don't think it's fair for me to, you know, criticize, you know, moves that were made. You know, I feel so fortunate to be there, you know, and would never want to come off as, we're doing this, the guys are doing that. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I Rick, I think you had asked at one point, how long did I think it might take before we could return to our winning ways? I don't think it's going to take that long. Now, I'm not so naive as to think that, well, we're going to be terrible this year, and next year we're going to be right back in the thick of things. No,
I'm just going to come back.
Yeah, I know it's going to take a couple of years, and we've got a lot of rebuilding to do. But again, this is just a terrific organization, and I have no doubt that they're going to make the right moves. We have a president in waiting, Andy McPhail, who has helped rebuild three different franchises,
yeah.
Minnesota, Chicago, and Baltimore. He, what a pedigree. Both his grandfather and his father in the Baseball Hall of Fame, Larry McPhail and Lee McPhail. I think he's really going to help out. And, you know, to me, it's been a privilege, you know, working with, you know, Pat Gillick and Ruben Amaro Jr. And over the years, I mean, we've had Ed Wade, Lee Thomas, you know, a lot of great baseball people here. And again, we've had a lot of successes. And, you know, I've announced five World Series, 80, 83, 93, 2008, 2009. And, of course, interspersed, there have been some teams that did not perform well. So, you know, we're there again now. And, you know, but there's no doubt, just as we've seen, just as history shows, we're going to come back from this. And, you know, will it be 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? I would certainly think well within a five-year window, Rick, in answer to your question, Lange, we'll be back bounding for first place.
It's the hope.
That's the goal.
Yeah. And then I guess speaking to the future, and I guess that 5 year period that you're talking about, where they'll be prominent competing for an NL East title again. What are your thoughts on upcoming pitcher Aaron Nola, who just recently announced that he's going to be making his big league debut on a Tuesday, I think it is. Yeah.
By the way, keep in mind, in no way do I speak for the club. I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah, of course.
As
a fan,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to act as if I have some inside information. Believe me, I'm really low on the totem pole. So I'm sharing thoughts with you as a Phillies fan more than as one who's in the know and can tell you precisely when we're going to resume our winning ways or how we're going to do it.
Of course.
But the guy that you bring up, Aaron Nolan, Rick, is, and I just found out from Vonge that Aaron Nolan is going to make his Phillies debut very soon. And hey, he was the number one draft pick last year, and he's done terrific things in the year since his selection.
Yeah.
And he has earned an opportunity to pitch at the big league level.
For sure.
And I think he has a very bright future. You know, he pitched for LSU, one of the top baseball teams in the country. And of course, LSU in the Southeastern Conference plays great teams. So he is used to performing against outstanding competition.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can get like a really good player who has accumulated fantastic stats, but he has not achieved them against great competition.
Yeah.
So you know, you have to see him against other top players before you can perhaps evaluate how good he'll be. But Nola, you know, pitched well against very good players in college. He continues to pitch well against other top prospects from other organizations in AA and AAA and High A Clearwater. So I think he's going to be part of the nucleus going forward that will help return the Phillies to their winning ways.
We do have to ask your thoughts on Jonathan Papelbon and you know, how his contribution to the Phillies on and off the field, I guess.
Well, he's been an outstanding closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I agree with you know, maybe some of the things that he says or does? No, you know. He's a different cat. You know, he does things his way. It's hard to argue with what he's accomplished on the field. You know, I think he's a perfect 14 for 14 and save opportunities this year. He's the Phillies' all-time saves leader.
Yep.
He was fortunate enough to sign a very lucrative contract. And I guess, you know, it's hard when you're getting paid that much money. You know, people I expect great things from you.
Yeah.
You know, I guess part of where he's coming from is that when he signed here, he thought that there was going to be a continuation of the Phillies' run of NL East titles.
Great, yeah.
And you know, he thought he was signing on for you know big postseason opportunities, which he never received.
Got a chance, yeah.
As you know, Jonathan Papelbon's name has been mentioned frequently in trade rumors, along with that of Cole Hamels, and I guess Ben Revere. Those are the three names I think are probably most prominently mentioned in terms of potential transactions before the July 31st trade deadline. You know, we'll see. The Phillies' all-time saves leader. He has performed well. I will say that about Jonathan Papelbon.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about your career. How did you get into PA announcing and the industry?
I was a pretty good athlete, baseball, basketball, but not nearly good enough to play professionally. But I was always a big fan,
yeah.
And I wondered if someday, at first, Vonge and Rick, I envisioned myself as being a player on the field, you know, performing before all these people in the stand. I'll never forget when my father took my brother Rick and me to a Phillies game at Connie Mack Stadium at 21st Street and Lehigh Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it there?
You know, going in and seeing the light standards, you know, that this lit up the sky and the field, and my goodness, you know, it seemed like heaven to me. And the huge expanse of Green Grits in the middle of North Philadelphia. And hearing the people in the stands and smelling the aromas of the food that was being cooked. And hearing the people, it was just a great atmosphere. That, oh, this is tremendous. And boy, it had me hooked from the time that I first walked through the entrance of Connie Mack Stadium, also known as Shibe Park. When I realized, as most of us will do, that I wasn't going to play professionally, even though I was pretty decent, I thought, well, what's another way that I could maybe get a chance to go to games every night? Well, working games. And since I was always a pretty good talker and knew sports well, I thought maybe that's a vehicle for me. And I went to college just down the street from where we are now. I went to then Glassboro State College, now it's Rowan University, a wonderful school. That's where I went to undergraduate school and majored in education, junior high school education, and then I went to Temple University Graduate School, and my graduate degree is in educational media. And when I graduated from Glassboro State, I started teaching 5th and 6th grade in the school district of Philadelphia. I was a school teacher from 1968 to 1980. First at the Landreth Elementary School at 23rd and Federal, and then when the school district closed that building and a cross-cutting move in 78, I moved a couple of blocks away to the Smith School at 19th and Wharton. But I was doing my sportscasting things on the side, and I mentioned that prior to doing the Eagles PA announcing, I did statistics and spotted for a lot of visiting NFL announcers. And I was always pretty good at networking. And I'm willing to meet people. And I've made a conscious effort over the years to extend my hand, to ask for help. Gosh knows I've received a lot of help along the way. And if it wasn't for some recommendations from people along the way and great advice and counsel, you know, I certainly would not have had the privilege to do a number of things that I've been able to accomplish. So I was doing the sportscasting and things on the side, and, you know, one thing led to another, and my big break was interviewing in November of 71 with Bill Giles, who was executive vice president, and they were contemplating changing PA announcers. The vet opened for baseball in April of 71. The first year the PA announcer there was a gentleman, a very good announcer named Art Wolf, who used to be for many years on the air with KYW News Radio. But anyway, the Phillies decided they were going to make a change, and they started hiring, and they started interviewing some people. So, should I ask the girls if they can talk louder than they join it? So, Art Wolf did it that first year, 71, and fortunately, in my interview with Bill Giles, Bill was kind enough to hire me, and my first game was April 17th, 1972. There was a brief delay that year because of a player's strike. And so that Phillies-Cardinals game, April 17th, 1972, was my first, and the first batter I've ever introduced in a game was Baseball Hall of Famer Lou Brock.
Wow. How about that for a start?
Yeah.
She did it.
So, last thing I wanted to ask you. Sure.
With all this noise here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can get you on the thing. It's just in the background.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. Last thing I wanted to ask you is, any fond memories of your, well, you have a long career, of course. So any fond memories you have you want to share with us, any stories?
Well, of course, my most fond memories, Vonge and Rick, have to do with the team successes. And for the Phillies, that would be the five World Series appearances, and by far the happiest moments being the World Series championships of 1980 and 2008. Announcing the Major League Baseball All-Star Games was a great thrill in 1976 and 1996. And football, those NFC Championship games, 2002, 3, and 4 for the Eagles. The 1980 NFC Championship game, I wasn't announcing that game, but I was doing statistics for the CBS television network broadcast. Tom Brookshire and Pat Summerall were the play-by-play team.
Yep.
So I'll never forget Wilbert Montgomery running that touchdown, you know, helped beat the Cowboys. And, of course, they went on to the Super Bowl, but they lost to the Raiders. But that was a fond moment. Even though I didn't announce it, that was a great memory of Orange. And since the Army-Navy game moved to Lincoln Financial Field in 2003... I've announced, I believe, 8 Army-Navy games, and at one of them, I think maybe 2004 or something like that, I introduced President Bush. So it was the second U.S. president that I had the privilege of announcing. So those were highlights. You know, I did Big Five basketball for many, many years. I broadcast Big Five basketball from 1977 through 1998, LaSalle, Penn, St. Joseph's Temple, and Villanova. Many games at the Palestra College basketball's most historic arena. What a great setting. And then I broadcast Drexel basketball from 1997 to 2012. And a lot of great college games over the years. And those broadcasts would be highlighted by the city series matchups, you know, when LaSalle, Penn, St. Joe, Temple, Villanova would play against each other.
Yeah.
Just some classic rivalries, and you'd have half the Palestra cheering for one team and the other half cheering for the other. You know, it just great, great atmosphere. And those, of course, are really fond memories.
I know recently they just announced that they're doing a doubleheader. I forget the exact matchups, but with Penn, St.
The exact matchups, Rick, are LaSalle Temple and Penn and St. Joseph's.
There it is.
And it will be January 20th, 2016.
Yep, it's going to be great.
I retired from doing the Drexel basketball play-by-play at the end of the 2012 season, but Drexel, Director of Athletics Eric Zilmer, and head basketball coach Bruiser Flynn have been kind enough to bring me back to do a handful of games on the public address system for the last 3 years. I'll be doing a handful of games again. I've done like 3 years for the last 3 years. I enjoy doing that, of course, very much. I did a Rowan baseball game, probably going to do a Rowan basketball game this coming winter. And Rick, you being a St. Joe prep game, since Speedy Morris has moved to St. Joe's prep, I've announced a St. Joe prep game,
yeah.
One game, usually the Coaches versus Cancer contest near the end of the year. I've done one high school game a year.
I remember being at those games, actually seeing you there. Little did I know we'd end up here. But
yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And I have so much to be thankful for, you know, so many great opportunities. And, I mean, it was all these wonderful sports events, really, where, you know, my social life was built around, you know, because I had all these commitments to keep, I'm so happy to have had these opportunities.
Well, Dan, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.